Roll call, Gary, for... Just a roll call?
Yep. Names. Tim, not here. Sue's not here. Roy?
Here.
Roger?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Okay, can we get an approval of the agenda as written?
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
I'll second it.
Gary?
Roy?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to approve all the minutes in the upcoming meeting all at one time. I think it's the 21st, I believe.
21st, yeah.
So we'll start with Gary on the financial report, item A.
All right, so this is the first time in, say, 3 months, I think we had an actual financial report. Mm-hmm. So during the audit of last year, we're going through and fixing our balance. So everything actually balances out now.
If everybody can't hear, feel free to gather up.
Yeah, that machine is loud.
Yeah.
You'll be done.
Hey, Gary. Could I get you to switch to that chair there since he's not here?
Maybe was he going to be showing up?
I don't know. Obviously, he's not here now. Maybe they can hear better when you read.
Okay. All right, so we got a balance sheet now that we've got everything corrected. Page 16 is our general fund profit and loss spreadsheet. So what I've done a little bit different on this one, the first three quarters of it is our profit and loss of all of our work areas or profit centers. And then below three quarters down under footnotes, I included the loan payments where they actually apply to each work area or asset or each business area. And then applied the depreciation for each one. So in the previous meetings that you guys always gotten, you'd see this $271,000 be a net income. But once you put the loan payments in there, you actually had an $18,000 loss. And then if you included depreciation, which we should be saving money for the future of this port, it's actually a bigger loss. So you're looking at $350,000 loss. That's from July through February. And that down at the very bottom is our interest to date on our loans. It's $2.6 million. Deferred interest. And then the next page on 17 is just a breakout of those areas in more detail.
Yep. Why is there so much interest on commercial? Because that's a green building. Where's the interest coming for that?
It'd be
these two buildings don't have any.
It'd be the green building.
These don't have any.
No, it's the green building and the Eureka Fisheries that they bought.
Okay, thank you.
So on page 17 is the more detailed profit loss if you want to see more detail of the numbers. Page 21 is our capital project fund. So the other thing we're going to do from now on, we're going to have each fund show it to you guys. So we got general fund, capital project fund, and then the two debt service funds. So that's how I'm going to have a breakout from now on. The only thing I'd say there is we got the $1.1 million that came through ODOT that came through the port, then paid IFA back for the tsunami time frame of when they borrowed money. Revenue debt fund, that's a USDA fund that we pay once a year. And then the debt service fund. Any questions on that?
Sure.
I'm good.
Roger?
No.
All right. The supplemental budget hearing. That's the next item. So this here is the, we have to add $500,000 roughly for, into the budget for the dredging, for the ice house dredging that we did earlier in the year, the sinkhole damage. So this is showing $500,000. It's probably be about $450,000 when everything's said and done. But for budget purposes, that's what we plugged in there for $500,000. Any questions on that one?
We'll be getting that back, right?
We've already got the money.
Okay.
I got one more payment to make, and it's just the fence repair and some labor, bar labor. It'd be a few thousand dollar payment.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions on that one? So,
guess not, Gary.
Okay. The next item is to appoint a budget officer for this coming budget.
Can we get a motion to?
I'll make a motion that we appoint a budget officer.
Okay, I make a motion we appoint Gary Dillinger, our port manager, our budget officer for FY 17 through 18.
I'll second it.
Gary, roll call.
Roy?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
A financial, C is appoint budget committee. We'll do that on March 21st at the main meeting at the Best Western.
Okay.
So, John Brazil's here. Are you here, John?
Yep, he's here.
So far to date, we've received two applicants.
So,
how many do you need, Gary?
Minimum three.
So
we need some more interest.
Does everybody hear that? We've only had two applicants for budget committee people.
I wanted to, but it said you had to meet during the day, and I'm not available during the day.
Hey, well, you might pass that on because we need one more.
Meet during the day?
Why don't you do it? Because you meet during the day.
Well,
it said you have
5
to be
o'clock.
Available during the day.
Before, didn't we? We always met at 5 o'clock before.
5 or 7.
Or 7. 6.
6. We That's met right, at hour, 6. Hour before the meeting.
Hour before the meeting is what we met before last year.
So you want to apply? All right, cool. All right, so that gives us our three, unless other people apply. So. Okay, so Gary, D, draft audit.
All right, draft audit. So we just added the package, this little overview of what we've done since the first one. So on the first one, there were some errors that we've caught, so we did a full review. There's quite a few things that we've corrected in it. So this third draft we feel is the best draft that we got, and it balances out to everything that we're doing. So. We're going to be looking for approval on that next meeting so we can submit it to the state before the end of the month.
Okay. Okay, so you have a copy of that, Roger?
Mm-hmm.
And Sharon, you have a copy of
I
that?
I do.
Okay. Okay.
All All right, moving on to agenda item 5, new business. Item A is a PFMC representative regarding salmon season. That'll be...
Go ahead. 21st.
As of today, I talked to Richard Heap today. In fact, I called him earlier. We have zeros for the whole year.
That's what I'm hearing too, Roger.
No, that's officially on the website now. It's zeros. He said there's no chance of change. But last night I asked the city to move the date from September 4th to the 2nd, so we'd have a three-day salmon slammer derby. We approved the resolution to do it now of the information I had at the time. So it's zero out. There'll be no salmon season in Brookings this year or any place in KMZ. And a lot of the other coasts south of here. Possibility there'd be no recreational fishing on the Klamath this year either.
Okay, so that's definitely not good news.
Nope.
Okay, so Richard Heap will be at our meeting and give a more detailed... yes, Daniel?
If I may, in talking to Eric Schindler yesterday, of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, who's on that salmon task force, he said flat out that California yesterday released the information that there will be no recreational fishery for the Klamath River.
Okay. Well, like I said, thank you for that, Daniel. And Richard Heap will be there to give an in-detail report on all of this. Okay, Gary, the CBN lease amendment.
All right, this lease amendment is fixing a couple things. The start of the lease, and the first second paragraph actually had two different start times. The actual start time should be April 1st. And then it also fixed, she has no outdoor storage.
Right.
So this is what she's doing now. I'm looking for the board's approval on this amendment. Okay, it'll be voted on next week.
That's what we voted on.
Okay. I have to recuse myself from it.
Okay, so we'll vote on that at the 21st meeting.
Yep.
Okay. Hallmark lease, Gary?
Hallmark lease. When Don Mann was here, he was working on this lease quite a bit. I just got an email back a couple weeks ago that Hallmark approved what Don was working on. So I just need the board to agree with it. They wanted to backdate the lease to March of 2016 to match with the work area. It's only things kind of a little different in this, but they've been paying that monthly amount that's in this since March anyway, so. Anyways, we're just looking for...
So they want their payment to come due at the same time?
Yeah, so the next lease, everything would be the same time instead of having it two different.
Right. So they just want us to...
So we're gonna vote on that on the 21st as well?
Yes.
You know, everybody has a COLA clause, and I call it every year.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, it did.
Okay, the Bandon Pacific lease.
All right, Bandon Pacific. Don was also working on this one. He was trying to make this lease workable between Hallmark and Bandon because Bandon Pack Choice dock was broken. So Don ended up kind of abandoning that agreement because Hallmark can actually rent out their lease, their hoist to anybody they want for any price, whatever. So he left it up to Pacific Choice and Hallmark to work out their details. But what I've learned going through this, when I was talking to Dave Wright about it, there's never been a signed lease for Pack Choice.
That's correct.
Yeah. So what I'm looking for, Dave Wright already approved this, what Don was working on, several months ago. So I just found out we didn't have a signed lease prior to that, because the paperwork that we had actually released ends on the 18th or 2018, but it was never signed. So anyways, it's very confusing. But
So Bannon Fisheries is a division of Pak Choice.
Yeah, Bannon Pacific is, I guess, I don't know, they changed their name last year, so.
A lot of companies are subsidiary of this and that.
So anyways, I'll be looking for your approval on that next week as well.
Okay, item E, Zola's lease.
So Zola's lease, I think Ian came in here to, he wants to speak to the board.
Yeah, and we were really hoping the whole board would show up here, but unfortunately, we're missing two board members tonight, but, you know, please, if you bought your plan, you know, please go ahead and take the floor if you wish, and let what board members here know.
I'm happy to come back to the following.
Yeah, and that might not be a bad idea, too, Ian, when all the commissioners are gathered at one time here.
So my name's Ian Savis. This is my wife, Monica Savis. We own Zola's. We just kind of want to talk about where we've been this last 8 years. So we hit our 8 years June of this year. And just as we go further and further, we just are running out of space. And that's kind of the idea here is how can we creatively look at our space and maximize the space we have to still be able to support the demand that we have going through. So briefly in this, you'll see in that packet, there's pictures of some of this stuff, but the boat and shed removal, increasing the visibility to our outside, the back of the house area where our propane tanks are located. Talk about the new building space as well as the refrigerator, cold storage that we need to bring in to increase our storage for our walk-in. Just as we run into problems with deliveries, you know, we get a delivery once a week, and as we have more demand, we need more product, and that product needs to last till the following week, and as that increases, we just don't have the space to handle that kind of demand. So just a little bit over the years, you know, we started with 6 part-time employees. We're up to 20 employees. 12 of those are full-time. And by this, and 3 of those are managers, 2 of those are supervisors. By June, we're going to have like 10 to 15 more employees. And that's just to handle the business that we have, the flow, the hour of operations that change, and just to keep up with what we do. So we're pretty happy about that year-over-year success. So to start with the boat, and the reason we want to get the boat out of there is it leaks. If you haven't seen it, it's that wheelhouse that's on the end of the building. It was just put there. We keep dry storage, cans, flour, things like that. But the weather, we can't maintain temperature. Extreme hot, extreme cold, wet when it rains, leaks, pours, buckets galore. So the plan that we're looking for is to remove that boat, and then there's a dilapidated small storage building next to it. If you look probably 2 pages ahead, you'll see some of those pictures that show the boat. Sorry, I didn't number the pages. But kind of shows the boat and the condition it's in, and what we want to do is remove the small storage unit and bring a refrigerated container in to be able to utilize your space better. So that's step one. Step two is the patio. We want to look at our patio and just be able to offer a more structured setting. If you drive by there now, it's just our tables are out there, the cars are out there, kind of have create separation of space between our patio and the car that drives through there to have separation. So with that, Mr. Brazil and I met and kind of have walked the space to determine the amount of space needed to maintain the integrity of the fire lane. And we kind of have that mapped out so we can discuss further as far as what that plan is and what we can do moving forward once if we get approval for that. But that will allow, like I said, just a more secure space so cars don't drive around by the picnic tables. And then the conversation about the new building that we have there that we acquired, the Cup Above coffee shop. Mm-hmm. Really, that the intent of that building right now is to allow these other 2 things to take place. All of that storage that's in that boat needs to go someplace, and we don't have the storage for it. Ideas for that to go into that new building that we have, which will allow the removal of the boat, allow us to bring in our new refrigeration unit. We'll also allow our at our house, we have a home office as well as copy machines and refrigeration units for certain things at that home. It will allow those items to come to the restaurant and keep everything on site there. Quick cost, labor, we're about 2,000 in. The walk-in cooler we're getting is about 15 grand. The building and everything that we did with it is 10 grand. We still need an electrician and a plumber. So if you kind of go through to the page, you'll see the boat. That's the boat that we want to take off. And then you'll see the storage unit right next to that we want to remove. Also the fence, that red line just shows the increase where we want to increase that fence just to create a separation for the visual effect. Right now it's only 3 feet high. You walk by, you can look down at the propane tanks and see kind of that back area as well. So it would prevent that visual and just create a more tight environment. I'm happy to go into more detail as far as, you know, I have the stage mapped out based on my conversation with John regarding the space that we need for that. And then we also discussed electricity and some of the concerns out there just to make sure that we are in line with code and what's needed there. And then we've contacted our insurance, who is Calor. Once we get approval to move forward, just to see what's needed to add that to our current insurance that we already have, with just a new piece of equipment. So I guess to sum it up, what we're looking for is a blessing on moving forward with the new building and what's needed there, a blessing on the removal of the boat and that storage building so that we can add our refrigeration unit, and a blessing on the fencing in the patio area to create a structured patio space that's designed, that's designated seating space rather than just picnic tables in the parking lot. I'm happy to go into any more detail on any things or answer any questions, but the idea was to just kind of share our vision with what we need to continue to be successful and to continue to grow the demand that we have, as it's becoming a struggle right now.
So how are you going to disguise that refrigerated can out there? And that's an ugly, they're ugly.
I kind of took a picture of the one we're looking at in there.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Fair enough.
It has a leaky boat.
A leaky boat's not as ugly as a can out there running.
You know, so other options, Roger, we looked at an actual walk-in, that we can put an actual walk-in out there. The problem with those is they're much smaller for the value for your money. And then also we would need to build a structure around that walk-in for space. So the idea was painting it to match, have it blend in, logo it, keep, I mean, the intent of it is for it to blend in and look part of the building and a part of the space, not be a sort of... And that's not the actual walk-in we're looking at. That's just a reefer container of the ones.
Yeah, those reefer containers they're all the same look. They are what
correct
brand they are, or what color they are.
And do you know the decibel of that? Is that 7 dBs or lower?
It's a single phase.
The noise decibel level.
Oh no, I can check into that, but
because these new ones, you can't even hear them run.
No, I understand. They're super quiet.
It's electric, right?
Yes, sir. It is.
Yeah, it won't be bad.
We're open to ideas. The need is refrigeration storage.
So, John, you've been up there with him, and you're fine with everything that he wants to do for us, the fire?
What he's talking about, yes.
Cool. You'd have to go outside to access this, right?
You would.
Yeah.
So where the boat currently is, there's a door on the inside. When that boat comes off, that door is still there. We're going to put a door, which would be the exterior door. When you open that door, you'll walk into the side of that shipping container.
Oh, okay.
There'll be a door on that. So there would be about a 2 to 3 foot breezeway between the building and the actual shipping container.
So we wouldn't have to worry about the public going between your building and
no,
there?
No, ma'am. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. And if you look, it's in line as far as the dimensions. We don't take up any more space as far as our real estate. We just kind of replace the same footprint as those two buildings did.
Okay. Thank you.
And then with that has the stage moving. The stage now when we have music faces directly across the river. The goal for this is when we build the patio in to move the stage for it so the musicians will face towards the highway. And instead of directing them, that way it'll change kind of that location and that position for that as well.
That would make the people across the river happy.
I think so. And just on that note, I know it's not a topic item, we have changed our sound system to be a much lower decibel to eliminate the, you know, any interference we have with anybody else.
Okay. Haven't known you for a long time, Ian.
I'm sorry?
Haven't known you for a long time. I would have expected nothing less than what you did. That's nice.
Thank you.
That's really nice, man. Thank you.
Yeah, nice presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Ian, why didn't you butt that building up against your other building tight?
The storage unit?
Yeah.
We looked at that.
It's just sort of a sore thumb sticking out there right now.
Oh, the actual new building that we have?
You set it away from your building. I thought you, I don't know why you didn't let it.
Would that fall under some fire?
A lot of it was the way there's a door on the back of it, and the way the roof came down on that building was interfering. It was hitting the actual roof, so we had to be away from that. And really what we tried to do was to create a space that cleans up our back of the area where we put our recycle, where we put our trash or bags, kind of take away that space.
Also has to do with fire regulations too, Roger, distance between two buildings.
We need to have some space there unless it's an attached structure.
Yeah, I guess it is. Okay.
Yeah. And as far as that, we basically moved things around Jenga style, and we took up one parking space for that. But the moving everything around, it again shared the same footprint that existed there before.
All right. And Ian, again, if you can, come at the regular Tuesday meeting on the 21st and kind of...
Definitely.
Do this again. There'll be a lot more public people there, and hopefully we'll have two more commissioners. So I really apologize for their absence.
No, I'd be happy to. We're happy to be a part of this.
So, if I can, just to add on a few more things. That building's probably the oldest building here, or one of the oldest buildings.
It is, yes.
So the last audit report we had from SDAO, Risk Management, said there's a bunch of rot in the building. Which I'm not sure how much longer that building's going to last. So just keep in mind what you're going to spend here. I'm kind of thinking 5 years down the line, we need to put a new building there. So.
Well, they're all supposed to be torn down. Every one of them right in that row.
That's the strategic plan. So I'm just, we need to keep in mind of the future of what we wanted to do there as well.
And that kind of led it to the purchasing, and what we were choosing was all things that are portable. So it's not adding to anything, and anything can be moved to another location as needed. As far as the expense for everything, we're fully prepared to pay for the paint for the building, and you know, I mean, we're not looking for anything other than a blessing to move forward to change some things.
Right.
You need to do a little work on that can.
Fair enough.
That's not very pretty.
You know, we're
you can enclose it with wood. We
can do that. There's a couple of artists we're
yes,
friends with in town. Spencer Reynolds is a fantastic artist in town.
It's still a can.
Still a can, but you know, you have a local artist that can present his talent and add a little something different, kind of shares in the vibe of who our restaurant is and what we do.
You can also come to the board, the full board, and get a vote on what you want to do with that can.
Okay. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that.
Okay.
Actually, we should get approval on the paint and everything else from the board.
The idea was to match the...
What you got there?
To blend it in exactly with what's there as far as the trim, the solid, not changing the colors at all, just to have it blend in entirely. And as far as, like, you know, some of this, our sense of urgency is the leaky boat. That's really our main number one priority is to be able to move some of that storage out and to see what we can do to come up with other options.
All right. All right, Ian. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Roy. Appreciate you.
Okay.
So on that note, do you want me to put a draft lease together with this outdoor storage space? I can have the lease ready for next week's
board meeting.
Approval. Yeah,
I would say so, Gary.
Okay.
So there'll be a draft lease for next.
Yep.
On this.
to you tomorrow, and then I can give you a copy tomorrow as well.
Okay. Sounds good.
KF is J Salon Lease. That's the beauty salon here in the retail for people who might not recognize that name.
Yeah, her lease is due as well. She had, there's a letter here that she wanted to actually speak next week's meeting, but she presented this letter so you guys are aware what her concerns are. So just so you know, that her lease square footage amount, it's actually $1.22 per square foot, because her current lease, the utilities are included. I don't know why it should be separate, but they're included, so it's actually $1.22 a square foot, not what she has here. And I told her that before she wrote this too. So that's the only thing I would.
Does that include her utilities at $1.22?
No, utilities are separate. Take the utilities out, and it's $1.22 a square foot.
Questions, Sharon?
So she's gonna be paying for her own electric from now on?
She always has been.
Oh, she always has been. And everybody else is included? No.
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 Everybody pays their own electricity.
So
her water and sewers.
So is her new lease then going to reflect where the other tenants are at now, or what?
Is it because of?
Maybe she's had longer.
A salon.
Her lease has been there for a lot longer time. She bought it from someone else.
Okay, so then it's increased.
The CPI increases just over time. That's what it is.
Okay.
So there's nothing.
So it's not that she didn't start out more than everybody else. Okay. Right.
But that includes your water and sewer, correct?
The water and sewer.
Which is a lot for her business.
Well, yeah, for her business, she has uses more than a lot.
Yeah, she gets billed water and sewer separately from the square footage. But what happened in the last, about a year and a half ago, some reason our office combined it all. So it was just one line item. So it needs to be separated out again.
So I see. So she has a record. Okay.
Right.
Very good.
Close. Sorry.
So I'll get on the Jason lease?
Yeah, I'll have a draft lease for you guys to review or approve next meeting.
Okay, 21st.
Eric?
Yes?
In that lease, if you would address the issue that we talked about to make sure she's responsible for that.
Okay.
Or if the port's going to be responsible.
He's talking about
if she's going to do
exhaust fumes.
Yeah. Oh, do they do nails, huh?
They do.
Yeah, I think they use non-chemical stuff or something. I don't understand.
Yeah,
so.
They do need decent ventilation.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to new business, item G. BC Fisheries Ice House Cold Storage Lease Amendment.
Okay. What is amendment in this? I mean, I thought we approved this lease one time.
Name change.
He did. It was BC Fisheries, LLC. He's got new LLCs for those ice house
cold storage. That's just a title change?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I read it and I couldn't find a change.
I know, it's a title change.
Yeah, I just missed that.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's different.
So, can I get a motion to approve the BC lease amendment?
We should do it next meeting. Is that all it is, just a name change?
That's it. So, is that okay to make a motion on it with you?
As long as it's just name change, I've read through
that's it. All it is.
That's all it is, Roger, right here on the Ice Cold Storage House LLCs.
So, I'll make a motion that we approve the name, the name change.
Give a second.
No.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Gary?
Roy?
Yes.
Roger?
No.
Sharon?
Yes, so it didn't pass. We'll have to do it next meeting.
No, I'll say yes on this.
It would have passed 2-1.
What would have? Oh, cool.
Okay, so Roger, you reversed to a yes?
Yeah.
So, motion passes.
You probably want to do that for each one of these.
Oh, yeah, this RV park vendor thing, I have a question.
Oh, for the ice house and the cold storage, okay.
Approve the lease on the ice house.
Oh, that one too.
And then the cell, and then the cold storage.
Cold storage.
Okay.
Okay, so you second this, Chuck?
Yes, I did.
Okay, Gary?
Roy?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
So which one you guys just approved? I missed it.
Ice house and cold storage. It's all done.
Okay. All right.
Hello.
Okay, moving to item H, a new business, vendors at the RV park.
I have a question on that. Okay, so hot dogs, barbecue, now we can have food down there, but we couldn't before. I mean, I don't get it.
What is the restriction on that as concessionaire inside that area? Because that's the reason Faye Lee left, who couldn't have a concessionaire.
She's going to have a destination restaurant.
There's not a concessionaire.
No, it was a destination restaurant. But I think that's, I mean, Gary would research that. I think tonight he's just asking for some input from the board.
Yeah, direction. Right. Do you want a cart there selling hot dogs?
No.
If you don't, then I don't research, spend my time doing it.
I don't think we should have it.
I don't either.
There was one thing, it might not be anything in the record, but there's never been, it's been against the rules to have a mobile business on port property. That includes the canvas man that got kicked off of here, there's been a couple different.
Except the farmer's market.
The farmer's market is one thing. That's not a mobile business, not a...
Well, some of them are.
That's farmer's market business.
Well, tell everybody, there's not a port on this coast that does not have them. I just went from Garibaldi up to Garibaldi and back, and I stopped in every port, and they love their vendors and their food trucks, and they're everywhere.
Do they have them at the beach? Because not... other ports don't, or do
some of them don't have the beach access that we have.
Exactly. There's only one other on the Oregon coast. So do they have them on their boardwalk?
I'm on their boardwalk. They have them in their city limits.
In their RV parks?
No, city limits.
There's only one other RV park on the Oregon coast. Well,
but the Port of Sayula has an RV park. The Port of Garibaldi has an RV park. The Port of Newport has an RV park.
Almost all of them do. One way or another, they do. Charleston has one in the parking lot.
It's extra trash.
We have a comment from the public here.
I was just going to say we've been gathering some information on food carts and food trucks for the city and looking at what Portland and Eugene do and Gold Beach and so on. If that would be helpful in any way, we could give that information to the Port Commission also and Gary, and you guys could look at that.
Yeah, I'd like to share a copy of it.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's a happy thing myself, but if you had and you were willing to research that, I would definitely like to see it.
Sure.
I don't see anything wrong with having like some kind of a...
Somebody's going to charge him for it.
Well, we were just talking about it, Roger. We don't know. We don't have any idea.
They're just looking for our input on it.
Input at the board.
How Gary can move forward with bringing us a proposal
about it. I think in the summertime, either out here by the Chamber of Commerce or somewhere in our grassy area or somewhere in the middle. Somehow, if they want to put out some who knows, pizza places, taquerias, hot dogs.
Okay.
A snow cone shop. I mean, is it not a happy thing?
Okay. Do we have a non-compete clause in Zola's lease? Do we have a non-compete clause in Sporting Marina's lease? We have one in Barbara's, but we don't have one in the other ones?
No.
Okay.
The new format doesn't have the non-compete clause in it.
So we can have more food down here. It's okay with our brick and mortar people, other than the weekends.
Our tenants.
Well, there's two places that sell ice cream. There's, what is there, three places that sell, maybe even four that sell clam chowder. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, I think these food carts, you know, they're fast food. They're a hot dog. They're a piece of pizza. They're a barbecued chicken leg or something. So, if we were to make a motion, I would vote yes to send Gary to research it a little bit. And plus, we're looking at income. And Gary and I talked about that income. It could be potentially pretty fancy at $25 a day. And I talked to one vendor who would pay that. Just one.
I think you should have to pay the space rent for one space. It's not uncommon when you have places in an RV park.
Well, can we table this for the next meeting?
Sure, yeah.
Let's.
I'd like to make sure we can legally do it at the beach. That's what
okay.
I'm
saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the rest of Port is different, but the beach is because of restriction from the state or federals.
Okay, so we'll put this back on the agenda for the 21st. Okay. Item I, the change order for the hoist on the new dock.
Thanks.
Gary?
So, the new dock, the design didn't include the hoist. BC Fisheries bought the hoist. So, the loan that we have had contingency money in it, about $200,000 over the contract price. So, I'm asking the board to use that contingency money to purchase those hoists. So all the hoists are uniform within the port. It'll be part of the lease. Mike still has to take care of it per his lease.
Now we physically own the hoists on all the docks.
We will. Oh, yes.
On the other docks.
Right.
All Mark's docks, correct. Whatever. Other docks. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And their lease, they're obligated to maintain them. So they'd be no different from these hoists.
I make a motion we accept the change order on the dock deal for $140,000, whatever it is.
Sure.
I'll second it. Yeah, 148.67.
Roy?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
All right.
So that's a done deal. 148.70. The price change went down.
Okay, Gary. Item J, the Sport C and D dock conditions and plan.
I'm supposed to do the agreement one.
It's J's next one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, J. Yeah, you skipped over it. That's the report there. So, I had our engineer Jack Aiken do an assessment on our docks and the pilings. So the way the docks and pilings were put in 15 years ago, and now they're falling out, they are, in his mind, they're unsafe to use.
Correct.
So with C and D, piles have come loose. C is actually two piles came out of that dock. Kind of like E, three piles came out and I had to remove the whole thing. So C is becoming that same way. The further out part of the docks are getting worse by each storm that comes through here. So we're moving boats off the end of C right now to relocate them. I'm asking the board, do you want me to go halfway down? Because we can't, we won't have room for everybody. Some of those boats are going to have to be removed, give them a credit refund. D dock's going to be about the same, even though the piles haven't come out yet, but they're coming looser and looser on the far end. But halfway down, there seem to be.
So if we remove part of the dock, we'll be able to save some of it then?
I would say leave the dock still there, but just remove the boat so you don't have the weight.
And our storms even pretty well over, too.
Yeah.
I try to save all the docks we can, all the slips we can, because it's just money out of our pocket. And if we have to remove some of the docks at the end, when it gets worse, then we remove them.
Yeah.
And it might help removing part of them anyway in this motion.
Yeah. So what, I guess what I'm proposing here is on C dock is removing boats down to 19 and 20. And leaving everything else on the dock. Because, you know, without a even though we don't have a storm here, the wind blows down the canyon, whatever, because just the wind going against the boat is going to put pressure on those docks.
Yep, we get a lot of downriver wind.
So anyways, I was looking at either between 13 and 14. If we go to 13 and 14 on C dock, we wouldn't have to do any tightening of docks. If we go to the 19 and 20, then we have to tighten some docks up. We have to do a little bit of labor, which isn't a whole lot, but I would recommend going to 19 and 20. There's just less boats to move.
Okay.
And of course, it's up to you. It's going to be up to the board if you want to take that risk, too. I mean, right now, engineer says it's unsafe for the entire dock, so I just want to make sure you guys understand that.
We have to section off so that people couldn't.
Yeah, we have to barricade it off.
Have you walked those docks, Sharon?
Yes, I have.
Have you walked them, Roger?
No, I won't. I'll walk them tomorrow.
And
I mean,
so
the docks I walked on in this deal, they'll all look safe. They all look safe to me, right where I grew up on.
Right.
I think we take the risk and with it.
Well, I didn't get down there today, but did we remove the E dock off of F yet out of there?
The loose docks? Yeah, they're all gone.
Okay. Well, I didn't go down today. I was busy, but yeah, okay.
We still got to separate the main dock, though. We're going to separate the main dock away from that pile.
Exactly.
But we just haven't had time to do that yet.
Okay.
Okay, so Gary, we'll put this on for the 21st.
Yep.
And for those who haven't walked the dock, can you please try to make some time to walk those docks with these other commissioners and show them.
I'll walk it tomorrow or next day. I'll walk them by the 21st, I guarantee you.
Okay. So on D dock, what I'm looking for is the side tie, I would stop at 20.
Right.
And then on the finger side, I would stop at 31.
And looking at the boards, we're pretty full. We don't have many places, or we don't have any left to move people, do we?
No.
And Gary, wouldn't it be best if we pulled the ends and docks off so you don't have that leverage out
swing
there?
Swing?
Well, end of C, there's still three piles that are still pretty loose. I'm not allowed to pull those out.
Oh.
So those piles are still in the ground.
Mm.
So as long as they're in the ground, we're not allowed to re.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, a few months from now, it could be a different story. If they come out, we'll be pulling the docks out.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't need anything more. So sad. I wish we could fix it.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, what's the difference between a slip number and permit number?
Oh, yeah, that.
Are we moving on?
You got the current and the proposed.
You tabled it till the 21st.
Well, I know. I'm waiting for Roy to move on to the next section.
I got it wrote down, Gary. I didn't just verbally say it. I was waiting.
Okay.
So we'll continue the sports C&D dock conditions and plan on the 21st, 2017. And, Rod, you got a permit question?
No, not on that.
Okay.
This is I was
it's the next one.
Okay, so now we're going to go to item K, Resolution 471, Moorage License Agreement. Gary?
Okay, so we got a current version of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just so you know, the board's never approved any of these policies or agreements in the past. At least I couldn't find anything in our archives. So that's why I'm bringing it to the board now. We got the current one, and then we revised the current one to this proposed one with additional information on best management practices. We kind of followed Port of Siusa laws, because that looked like a pretty good package. So we kind of mirrored theirs. So what was your question?
Okay, the first page, the upper left-hand corner, says slip number and permit number. What's permit for?
Danielle?
Parking.
Oh, parking.
Your parking,
okay.
Permit.
You don't have to have a parking permit now, too?
Well, some should have a parking permit.
Some do, some
never
don't.
Had one.
Well, I'll get you one.
Didn't park it out here for. Okay, I was just asking.
So when you leave your truck with your boat trailer on.
Oh, I got a ticket one night.
Lock your wheels up.
No, I got a ticket one night down
does
here.
Does it make you happy when you come in from fishing?
Do we have a. You want to answer to the question, John?
I thought Roger would hear me, but he was not.
What?
I was wondering if the parking permit charges were retroactive.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll continue that to the 21st meeting.
Yep.
Okay.
And Resolution 472, mortgage rate increase. Okay.
All right, last time the increase was done is 2013, which is on the current sheets. So actually, they got that on there. I don't know if you guys remember, several months ago I had a proposed spreadsheet on basically like a budget proposal with our mortgage leases and mortgage slips. We're actually losing money when you apply all the loans and the depreciation. So I'm looking at, we need to make about 25%, but I don't think you can do it one shot.
No.
That's why I'm looking at 5% over 5 years.
5% compounded annually is about 35%.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's about where you need to be.
Because it's 25 on top of the
we're
5
losing,
on top of 5
yeah,
on top of 5.
I didn't calculate it out, but it's a 30-some percent.
We're losing $200 per slip right now. So.
Well, a lot of people are losing their slip, too.
That is true.
It's kind of a bad time to be bringing it up, I think.
Okay. Why is a 24-foot boat in sport basin and 24-foot sport in the commercial basin different prices? I'm asking.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I think the 24-foot boat in the sport basin versus the commercial basin.
I was going off of the rates that they had.
Yeah, the only thing we can
say. That's discrimination.
The only thing we can say.
We got old docks. My dock has got grass growing on it.
What I was told when I first started was the rates were different because the docks were newer and nicer. But
that was true back in about 90, until this was put in, that was very true. I'm just curious, I mean, if I move back over here where we were at one time.
You wouldn't have a spot.
Yeah.
I just make it a comparison. And they'll all be replaced here shortly by next year, okay?
I'd
pay $900 for a new dock. Now I'm paying $1,000 for an older dock.
Which was new.
When? 1974? It was new in 1974.
Is this about your boat or
what?
Hey, Roger, I tie currently with the dock that's busted during the tsunami, but it's still replaced with an old dock, and yet you're going to increase my rates.
I don't have an answer for you, other than that's what we've had to work with, so I don't know what the reasoning is, other than what you're saying, what I heard.
When I came back in 95, I think it was the same lumber I'd hauled down here in 64 for the docks, okay? I mean, they were so bad, you didn't hardly want to walk on them. They were a little about this narrow, and they were, it was bad.
So it sounds like we need to table this till the 21st meeting, read, do research, communicate, and get with Gary as well.
Well, I realize that we need an increase eventually, but right now we're putting people in, you know, bad situations because they're not able to be at their dock that they've always been at or whatever, and a lot of them, we can't relocate them. We don't have spaces to do that, but yet we're asking them to pay more. And I think that it's just poor timing on our part right now, but I think we do need to look at it. But that's just input.
Let's just call it that, Gary, and we'll just make a direction at the 21st meeting. After the other two commissioners can read their packets, and hopefully we have a full board, and
I think we ought to make them equal.
Yeah,
24 foot, well, 24 foot.
As far as I'm concerned, this is a chance the board can make it equal.
Right,
it however
and I agree
want.
With that.
I don't mind paying my
$1,000. We should have a standardized price.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not Gary's decision.
It's ours.
But you folks want
the same boat over here is paying less than me. That's not quite right.
Well, see, we've been made aware of that now, Roger, and we can change that as the board.
Okay.
And I
no
totally
problem.
Agree. Sharon agrees with you.
I do.
So now that we've been made aware of that, which that's the whole thing about these meetings, just for the public's knowledge, we as a board are being made aware of things in the past 9 months we never heard of.
Right.
So now we're able to hopefully, you know, be way more helpful.
Okay, I have a question on the deal where it says charter fee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
$50 per passenger times max load. So a six pack would pay $300 more plus his mortgage rate. Is that how it works?
That's the way it's currently working, yes.
Okay. Wow. So the Superstar has, 22 passengers, 24? I don't know what their max load is. It's something like that. It's quite a few.
Whatever their...
Okay.
That's
a fee for the year.
Correct.
Okay.
So now, my question is that, do we have records in the office on file right now that all charter boats are paying that fee?
We have a charter boat list.
But are they all being charged that fee?
As far as I know.
I know a year ago they weren't.
Right.
And we were getting up to date on that.
It's a one-time fee.
If that could be provided at the next board meeting, just for reference, so that this whole board knows that.
Okay.
Okay, so any more discussion on resolution 472 before next meeting?
Are we done, Matt? The gentleman had a question.
Yeah.
Just on the dock prices, are the dock prices, the ones with the power, the same as the one without the power? Because you've got a lot more on the sports side that don't have power.
Yeah.
Is the fee the same for the annual fee for the docks with power than without power?
Yeah, because you're paying for your power separately.
The power, I pay for my power separately.
But I would like power, but I said there's no spaces for power, so I've got a space without power. You know,
I understand.
But again, I'm just curious, why is, you know, people are charged more or the same that they don't have the opportunity to buy power?
I personally wouldn't have a problem with charging people when they have power out available to them a few dollars more for mortgage, but not $200.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine's about $200 some.
Yeah, yeah, no, I understand.
But the guy over here with 24-foot on this deal with paying less than, and he had power.
Yeah, I got this, a 24-foot boat, and I don't have power, but I pay the same as the ones that do have power. I'm the sport side. You know, so I'm just curious why,
Well, we can have these things put on the
access. We pay for the power separate.
Because I pull my boat a lot of times, and I have problems with stuff, just my instruments getting just some moisture just in them. If I put the boat in just there too early, or leave it out, you know, later in the season. In the summertime, it's not bad, but again, in the wintertime, or, you know, early in October, or early in the season, just like now, when we still got a lot of rain, I have always have problems just with my instruments and stuff. You know, I got a lot of money in my stuff, and I don't have power to keep them, you know, put a heater in there and do it, and so.
Yeah, I understand all that.
So I pay a consequence. I have to, you know, have damage to my stuff because I don't have power. But there's no spaces to get power. I've been in this right. world for a lot of years.
But you've been in that same spot for a lot of years.
I've been moved a couple times.
Right. But have you ever been in a spot that had power?
No.
Correct. Oh, thank you.
Well, years, no. Right. I never had power because I always pulled the boat.
Right. So this is nothing new to you.
No. Right. But again, if everybody's rates are going up, to right. be the same as on the other side, which is okay. Right. They have power on all the ones on the other side, on the commercial side, where over here on the sports side, all of the ones on this end just don't have power.
That's right.
So I understand the difference of a couple hundred bucks. I don't believe that should be, but still it should be something involved there. You know, I've been trying to get on the commercial side, but all the slips are, you know, pretty tight fit, and I hate to have people bang up against my boat.
Right.
So I'm on a side tie and fight for that.
Well, maybe we can look into that down the road. And
he is subsidizing the availability of power on other docks.
Yeah.
But I do hear what you're saying. Fully hear what you're saying. So maybe that's the interest of adjustment, possibly.
You're in both the mortgage agreement and the proposal for the liveaboards. What's an M? Type 1 MSD 235?
That's the sanitary equipment on the boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's different levels. Mm.
It's okay.
Chairman Davis?
Yes.
You got questions over here or comments?
Yes, Angie.
I would like the board to consider increasing the price of mortgage for the people that have electricity, because the port has to maintain those boxes. I know what they cost to replace, and I'm not saying a big amount, but they should. I feel that I'd like the board to consider whether it be so many dollars a month or per year. If you have an electric box right outside of your, you know, that you're using, that you're being charged. Because if all of a sudden I have a boat down there and my electric is going crazy and my bill is $40 instead of $3, there's probably something wrong with the meter, and I'm not going to pay to replace it, the port is. So it'd be nice to get a little extra money for those people that have meters.
Daisy?
I think several years ago, Coos Perry told the port that they needed to replace all of the towers that are in the commercial basin. And nothing's ever been done, so I don't think the rate should go up.
Yeah, there's
specifically, we're paying electric already.
Right. There would be some great research done to that days before that happened, mm-hmm. as with any rate increase in the port. And I personally am not aware of Coos Curry before the tsunami.
I'm not sure. I think it probably was.
Well, after the tsunami, they installed new pedestals, except for three of the commercial basin mm-hmm. docks, or old ones.
On both sides?
On sports sides, they're all brand new.
Right, but on the commercial side, the east side, the first three fingers are still the old
right.
style pedestals, correct, Daisy?
I think right. we're still under the old.
Yeah.
I'll go down when I leave this meeting and check that out, because I was under the impression that they were replaced.
No, not on NO and half a P or three quarters of P. They're old.
They're old.
Same with out here. C and B are old. A is brand new.
Yeah. These are old. And
it depends upon where you're at. I used to be on the end of...
No, the tsunami replaced.
D-dock.
Oh, the tsunami.
And it's a different pedestal than what there was there prior to the tsunami, but there was an old dock put back in there, because that's the one that the Haida broke up during the tsunami.
Okay. Well, that's all is considered for sure.
Yeah.
So let's get back on our agenda for now, for this evening.
Can I talk about this, please?
What are you going to talk about, Sharon?
It's a paper about the electric being billed monthly. I know that a lot of times they collected it yearly, but...
We bill monthly.
I know, but... So am I going to get an electric bill now when I have a padlock on mine?
Well, if you're not using power, you won't get a bill.
Well, but I didn't understand the way the paper was written. And if I was going to get a bill, I wouldn't talk about it. And other people around me.
You only charge electric on monthly, don't you?
Yeah.
Correct. That's what I thought.
Well, I know some people pay yearly.
No, all the bills go out monthly. If you use power, they get a bill.
Last one, Daniel.
This gentleman over here, and then I'd like to make one after that.
Yes, sir. Can you stand up and identify yourself, please?
Oh, sure.
I don't know your name, or I would just...
We know you. David Castellanos.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Just an observation I've had over the last several years. I think you can help maintain the integrity of your docks that you have now if somebody would put enforce the no-wake zone. And 5 miles an hour. There used to be more signs than there are now.
Thank you, David.
And heck, I'd even pay for them.
Thank you. That is a bad deal, and that is rude boating.
Mm-hmm.
And so your chairman does.
Guy's been chased, but
your chairman does not mind saying that is absolute rude boating, and I see it every day. But I have no authority to enforce that.
Well, so the Coast Guard says no.
But I know you passed the. But I personally don't. No commissioner does not.
Okay.
And so it is the port's authority to impose that, and we try to. We've tried. You know, it happens all the time. It's just one of those that.
Right.
You know, like the RV park. I don't know if Jennifer's still here or not. My God, I sit over there every morning and have coffee, and I end my day there every day. And the amount of cars that fly through that, it's unruly. Similarly, so to pass that on to your fellow fishermen to be courteous. Yeah, I know.
I don't. There
I know.
Used, over there at the Coast Guard crab dock, there used to be a sign on the back side of that. Mm-hmm. It's not there anymore.
It's been beat off.
No, they replaced the wiring, and that dock got reconstructed. The other crab dock, it would be real easy to put a sign coming inward. Right there. Like I said, I'd be willing to buy the signs if you get your permission to have your staff installed.
That's definitely something we'll talk about for sure. Gary and I meet every day.
Because where I'm located now.
Pardon me?
I said where I had to be moved because I was on D-Dock. I don't know if I'll get my slip back. But I'm going to be right in the main traffic of everybody launching their boat. This summer, and I'm on the end of G.
Right.
Yeah. I was working the other day. There's guys coming in. There's hardly anybody fishing right now, and the dock's going like this. And I'm going, it's got to be.
Unfortunately, Dave, that's like a 24-hour babysitting job to catch those four or five that do it every day. And then, you know, like I say, we don't want it.
No.
We consider it rude. So, you know, we can put up some signs, but you got to be there to catch the criminal. That's like the security thing. If I'm in my house, the only way they can catch the criminal is if I hold him until they get there. Although, if he gets away, then they get no criminal.
If someone's coming in at 10 miles an hour instead of 5,
get
and that wake is moving all your docks.
Get a boat RO number for us and turn that in.
Yeah.
And then who would you present that to?
Well, we have a sheriff station right across the way there. Maybe we could submit that to our...
Bring it to the office.
The first thing is to do...
Well, do the office, correct.
Yeah, just bring it
to the office.
Yeah, an order. And we have the same thing with trash, Dave. We have the public filling up the trash, and, you know, we have people, even where the signs are, no overnight parking, no overnight camping, our security guy is you know, 24/7, you know, making those signs do what they say. So I would suggest an OR number to our office, and then our office can, you know, can go from there as far as a straight...
I just realized...
A sheriff marine guy.
There's a lot of, excuse me, there's a lot of out-of-town boaters that come to Brookings, and if they have no visual recognition that they're supposed to slow down...
Have you ever watched the show, oh my goodness, it's about the Mardi Gras, and people are just doing everything you can imagine in that city during the Mardi Gras, and every time one gets arrested, he goes, well, this is New Orleans. So as we travel to other cities, we would hope we act like we would act in our own hometown. But a lot of times you get people that come over here, a little alcohol, you know, they don't have to work today, they're all excited, kids ramped up, and you know, they kind of get a little outlaw. But definitely if you can get OR numbers, boat description, vehicle license plate description, slip number, you know, keep an eye on that boat and see how it's getting in and out and around and mooring and report it, help us out.
I think a good visual recognition of a sign would
be. Yeah, cell phones. We take great pictures today with cell phones. You know, I mean, help us out.
Yeah, but there's signs that need to be put out there, too.
Okay, we fully understand.
No way around
I think
any
we
dog.
Need to have a sign at the end of the...
Sit down.
Jet and the... Outside.
Last year we built that.
Jetty?
I'm not the jetty, but the... I guess you call it jetty. I don't really call it anymore.
We were going to at least put a sign up.
Well, down there, and there should be one as they launch.
Well, year ago we put up signs.
Yeah.
Maybe some signs got knocked down or whatever, but there were signs up there.
Yeah, and I've seen them.
I always worry about the Coast Guard getting shot and slow down.
We actually have a bunch of signs in our warehouse.
The
so
Marine rules.
I can pull more out.
Roy?
Yes.
On that note, I've been at the Coast Guard, and they'll tell you that it's the Oregon State Marine Board and your Sheriff's Patrol that have to write those tickets because the Coast Guard has no authority to enforce that no wake zone inside our harbor.
Yeah.
So the State Marine Board or the
State Marine Board and the Oregon and our Sheriff's Department.
That's right. Our Sheriff Marine guy can surely write those tickets.
Yeah, because the Coast Guard cannot write those. That's what they tell me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
This port is the Sheriff's Marine Department's jurisdiction.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing in regards to electricity. When we have out-of-town boats that plug into the mooring for those, pull into a stall and plug in, is there some way that the port can notify the transient boat that they're responsible for that electricity?
Probably because the boat that owns that slip is supposed to put a padlock on it when they leave and maybe notify the port that they're going to be out of town. I would leave that up to the slip owner, and I would not vary from that, not one bit, Daniel.
Okay.
Yes. I think that's the boat owner slip. I mean, if I had my Denise boat still and I was going up north or whatever, I would lock my box and I would report to the office that I'm going to be out of town and I don't want nobody tying up in that slip or using my electricity unless it's an emergency for the port.
Well, I would have in my slip, I wouldn't have a problem with them tying up in my slip if they needed it, just electricity and that
right, I just think that is strictly a boat owner's responsibility. And okay. Did we discuss the liverboard agreement and policy yet?
We're just getting to it.
Okay, so let's go to M. And this will also, you want to discuss it, Gary, because this will go to the 21st meeting too.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is another policy that was never approved by the board. But we do have forms in here for a liverboard.
Okay.
So we went through and upgraded it. So I'm looking for the board's approval if that's what you guys would like to have, liverboards. And it's still up to the manager to approve liverboards.
How many liverboards do we have now?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Probably what, half a dozen?
Yeah.
We have that many?
Yeah.
I don't see some of the ones we used to have, thank God.
So anyway, so...
Gary?
Yeah?
I'd like to have a copy of that prior to the next meeting.
Okay.
Used to be.
Okay, so you have a copy of that, Roger?
Yeah, I have a copy of it.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I didn't have time to read all
this. Is this going to go to the next meeting, then?
So
there's something I can get rid of now.
Okay, so moving on to item N.
Yes.
Resolution 474, Commissioners, Rules, and Policy.
I just noticed something. Why don't we have on our application agreement for mortgage have a cell phone number on? I see it's listed on the living boards, not listed on our other form.
That's not a bad idea. Plus emergency contact.
Yeah, it's emergency contact.
The new one, did have that.
Mm-hmm. It did it?
Had the emergency contact.
It had emergency contact, but we should have the boat owner's cell phone number on the.
If they have one.
A lot of them give us their cell phone numbers.
Yeah. Too.
That's the only number I have, but I mean, it should be.
Yeah, so we can get an alternate number.
Okay, so Resolution 474, Commissioner's Rules and Policy.
Okay.
Will be discussed and voted on the 21st meeting.
Well, that's assessment, I thought.
No, actually, it's you jumped ahead again. And hopefully I'll have it ready, but I think it's going to take a little more time for you guys to review it because it's going to be a big package.
Okay. It's like going to be more detail.
Huh?
Is it like SDAO?
Well, some. It's commissioner rules, policies, and duties between a board and a staff. I mean, there's a lot of things in there that we currently don't have that's in our resolutions. Our resolutions have like 14 items, 14 little paragraphs. So this will have like 20 pages.
We get it to us, and then I think we better move it past.
Yeah, yes, that's what I'm getting at is yeah. Once I get it to you, it's going to take a little bit of time to put it together. So I'm going to try to have it before the next meeting, but I'm kind of expecting the next month for a good month. Review of it.
Okay.
Here
we go.
Okay.
Okay, so SDIS Board Practices and Assessment.
So this assessment SDAO has been doing for other ports, and I just want to throw it out to this board if you guys want to do assessment on this port. I don't know what the costs are. I think some of I guess it depends on how much they got to do. They may charge us, but I think it's free of charge, I believe. But I can look into it if you guys want to do it.
Yeah. Well, we'll also carry that, Gary, to the 21st meeting, but, you know.
I think we ought to have it.
I definitely think so.
And I think that'll maybe wait until after the elections. Have it done.
If we have it done, then the new commissioners coming on board already have that.
If they attend the meeting.
Correct. But that's something that can be discussed.
Yeah, I'm just saying it'd be easier to have it after the, even as before they're sworn in, at least we know who's coming in on board. That's all I, because I know I talked to George about, there's going to be one someplace to post here about a month ago, he said, as soon as the election's over, I'll start my rounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the board practice assessment will be discussed at the 21st meeting. Okay, surplus equipment, Gary. That is P.
Right. So I have a new updated list. Ron and I went out to the boatyard and had a lot of boat parts. These lot numbers include a lot of miscellaneous boat parts. So I've attached some pictures just so you kind of get an idea what they are. The public doesn't have the pictures. Just got the list. So I'm just looking for you guys' approval on selling. Well, I actually put this as surplus, and I was going to put all this stuff in the auction. I'm gearing up to do an auction probably in May.
If you guys want to look.
Then one other thing I should let the board know.
the vessel Reality. We've gone through the seizure and foreclosure process, and it's a done deal. It's unless he comes in here and pays up what he owes, mm-hmm. We're clear to auction it off.
It's called the Reality, Daisy. It's a
FD Reality.
It's that pirate boat. Closest to my shop. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's way at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Left.
So on this, I don't need a vote tonight on this. It can be done next week as well.
Right.
Somebody asked me if you had something about, do you have a trailer full of metal or something? Salvage metal or something?
There'll be a list made up, Sharon, and it'll be made public. It'll be made available to the public, and there'll be a viewing before the
auction.
Before the auction.
Great. I'll pass that on.
Anything, Roger? Okay, going to item Q, the appraisal quote for mentioned properties, possibly for sale of the port. So these are just mentioned properties, and this is just asking Gary, directing him to get the appraisal. There's a price that will be discussed at the next meeting, unless Gary wants to discuss that tonight. It's up to Gary. Gary, you have the floor.
All right, yeah, the board asked me to get appraisal quotes from this outfit from Coos Bay. So this is his quote for the seven properties.
7,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he told me that he can do these at different times, so we won't be hit with $11,000 at one time. He'll combine them, you know, like the Snazics and the property across the street at one time, and do the other ones a little later so we don't have a huge bill.
And when you were speaking to him, how did you feel about
it? I know.
Good, I mean.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Kenny was willing to pay for his own appraisal. So, okay, never mind.
It's all there.
You don't have to do the one for Harbor Sand. You just done it last year.
No, we didn't do it last year. Well, we did all the property. We did all the property.
No, 2 years ago we traded for a piece of land across the street. So we appraised that piece of land 2 years ago. Not quite.
It's gone way up since then, I'm not sure.
What? You have to have an appraisal every 6 months, I believe.
Yeah. Every 6 months.
Property is coming back in the area.
Okay, so this guy will tell us what we need.
I think it'd be safe to get appraisal done.
Yes.
I make a motion we go ahead and have the appraisal done as listed in the package.
You get a second?
I'll second that.
Gary?
Roy?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I had no public comment forms before me tonight, but if anybody has any questions at this moment, we'll try to get them answered for you. If you have any, Jane, you're the media.
I know. I usually don't count.
You count.
Thanks for coming, Jane.
Boy, you guys run a fast meeting. At the very beginning, I was going off of last night's information when I wrote a story for tomorrow that we're now holding on about the salmon season. Is it off?
Yes.
And was that decision made by the
PFMC?
PFMC?
Mm-hmm.
Out of Coos or out of Santa Rosa?
Out of Vancouver.
Out of Vancouver.
The motor meeting in Santa Rosa. There's no PFMC meeting in Coos Bay. It's a hearing. The only two official meetings.
Oh, a hearing.
There's only two official meetings. One in Vancouver and one in Santa Rosa.
Sacramento.
And
they had
Sacramento this year. It goes back.
And there was no meeting in Coos Bay. It was a meeting in Newport. On the last meeting in February.
So, but they had deadlines that are not passed yet that they were going to talk about this stuff, but they decided to go ahead and do it?
It's been zeroed out on
what's zeroed out mean?
Zero, no fishing. There'll be a, it looks like there'd be a slight fin clip coho season on option two, but it's very small.
And Jane, this is information being reported by a commissioner of the board through via other source.
Right.
So we're not the source of that information. We're passing on what a source has told a commissioner.
The website, it's just...
Yeah, if you go on the PFMC website today, mm-hmm. It's on there.
Right. We are not that authority.
Right.
It's on the PFMC website today.
When did they announce that? This afternoon.
What?
When did they announce that?
This morning. Okay. It's just, yeah, I wrote the story based on...
But the real story is going to be told, Jane. The real story will be told on the 21st by Richard Heap in great detail. So that's maybe the story to hold off on, maybe until mm-hmm. you get it straight from the horse's mouth.
And Richard is going to cover that. He's in charge of the South Coast Fishermen's meeting tomorrow night at the library at 5 o'clock, and he will be discussing it there as well.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
I got two things.
Thank you so much.
I got two things. So, as our report to the board, I submitted the Oregon State Marine Board's grant application for the launch docks. Actually submitted it yesterday.
Okay.
So, when I was talking to Oregon State Marine Board, they're looking for public support letters. The more letters we get from the public or commissioners or legislators or anybody, better chance that we can get this grant.
Okay.
So we put out a public radio announcement. We got it on our website, but it'd be helpful if we get some support from the newspaper.
Okay, I have no clue what you're talking about.
And this needs to go to this Marine Board.
Yeah.
Would you please send Gary Hillman an email about what we need? We can get rid of that for us.
And send you the same one.
Sure.
I know what's going on.
Yeah, it's the grant application requires public, I guess, input.
Right.
So the more input we have, the higher that we get up on the chain of we get this grant.
What's it for?
So the boat launch docks out here, they've been falling apart. We have one that's actually shut down for the last 3 months.
Right.
Oregon State Marine Board's got complaints on that. So we're working on it today, trying to get it back in a safe condition. The more support letters we get, the better chance we will have getting that grant completed.
So any of you who are hearing this, to tie a boat up to a dock, we're asking for your help. I think Gary's saying numbers is best. And I, for one, feel like in the past several months that the public, the port, the users, the board, the management, the staff are all slowly really coming together. So if we're asking for an email or a letter to help get $3 million to get these docks fixed, I mean, if Gary's saying numbers will help and he's been suggested that by people who've done it before, then you know maybe we can all find 15 minutes to either write a note and mail it or an email.
Yeah, the emails can go directly to Oregon State Marine Board or come to here. Either way, we'll collect them and then we'll send them all at one time.
Gary, is there, would they accept, like, if the port did some kind of form letter and then had people?
No, because then you're representing the port. It needs to be an individual personal letter or personal email.
Yeah, it can be just a simple, like, we support the replacement of these docks. You know, they're old and they're falling apart. They're to the point where we can't fix them because you can't put pressure treated wood in the water anymore. That's against the environmental regulations. So,
but you wouldn't be looking for like a letter and then have signatures.
No, they have to be individual letters.
Just individuals, individual.
It could be a simple email to the board
saying,
you know, Port of Brookings Harbor needs new docks.
Anybody that uses the launch ramp, they need to help us out here, or help themselves.
Yeah.
Make it better for yourself, too.
Okay, we have one more lady that's been very patient.
Yeah, I got one more thing, too.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention, perhaps Gary or Danielle, you could do like a form email and then send it out to like a number of the groups in town, like Curry County Board of Realtors is huge. Terry Davis at the city has like every city business owner's email on file. I mean, get somebody, you know, get all the community leaders to do a blast email, and I bet you'd get a great response.
Okay.
Put it on
you got that, Daniel?
Put it on Facebook.
Okay. Danielle, Terry Davis of the city.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Gary, would you also, when you send something or talk to Gary Millman, about supporting Senate Bill, whatever her number is.
646?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we'll...
Yeah, and speaking of that, that was my second thing. Just to let the board know, I was up there yesterday testifying for the support of Senate Bill 646. That's the $3 million that we're looking for fixing the commercial receiving docks that are broken. Mm-hmm. And whatever the dock... if we get $3 million, it can go a long ways of fixing the port infrastructure, as well as some dredging that needs to be done, and fixing receiving docks. So, anyways, I had great support from Senator Roblin and Representative David Brock Smith. We all three sat in front of the committee. The committee that's sitting that we were testifying in front of is the Business and Transportation Committee. They're all in support, so it's going to. They're going to move it on to the Means and Ways, or Ways and Means.
Yes, Ways and Means.
Ways and Means Committee. That's where the battle is going to begin, because there's one representative that we're kind of having problems getting support. Probably know who's it is.
Right. And I want to write her a letter, but I was told I need to bring it to the board to see if I could. Ms. Johnson.
Because you represent...
Being the board.
Representing the board, yes.
Right. So,
if you write it on personal stationery, and don't mention that you're a commissioner, you can do that.
Oh, I think he just don't mention.
Right. Am I right, Angie?
No.
Huh?
I don't. I mean, you. I think she can write a letter.
Mm-hmm. There's some legalities.
Do I need to bring it here first and show it to the board before I mail it? Or I just need permission from the board to do it, right?
No, just do it.
Not as long as you're not writing as a commissioner. You might not care what you do with Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay, and what about the Marine Board? So, are we allowed to do that?
I was kind of thinking of doing a letter for the commission, and all the commissioners to sign that letter.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That'd be better.
That's very kind of you.
And we'll send one to Johnson, too. Just in case.
All right. I'll take care of that.
I'll
leave
at the library tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions about tonight's meeting?
It goes fast.
One right here.
Yes, sir.
Do you guys ever consider having a volunteer day where people can come in and help clean up some of the mess around here in the port and the paperwork and the debris, like in the lockup areas and around?
We are currently working on, a volunteer insurance policy and resolution.
Well,
yes.
Most people that have boats here have insurance policy and liability policies.
Right, but you have to be covered under the port.
We are covered under the port.
We have a volunteer form. You got to come in and fill it out.
Okay, so that's all been done.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It has to be supervised.
Coming up, picking up stuff, or doing the grass around some of the boardwalks and stuff. When they weed eat the boardwalks, they leave all the grass. It makes it slippier than if they left the grass instead, blow it off. But, I'm more than happy, and I'm sure there's a lot of people around
Absolutely.
Here that would like to see this port cleaned up.
Absolutely.
Not that it's a mess.
It's getting better.
Well, Gary just told us all that there are forms as of now, so
just have a lot of stuff there, right?
Come in and get, and I know you'll organize it well. That's
you
cool.
Bet.
You bet. Come in and do that. Yeah,
love absolutely. Volunteers.
Okay.
Cool.
Because like in the lockup area where I had my boat over there, it's a regular pig pen where all the wind blows all the debris from everywhere and it lines up all the fences and everywhere around there. Just
right. Well, I'm all for volunteers.
Volunteers are good.
We used to have inmate volunteers.
Boat out, I got to take it out the ocean.
And it worked really well.
I never seen those.
When that management went away, then that service went away. But the volunteer,
we have pump outs for your senator.
They've re-implemented that at the sheriff's office. That's what
it's about.
What's that?
It's the inmate thing.
Dumping your sewer.
No, I'm
I think we're going to try public. public volunteers first.
You're not supposed to be done.
They're retired, they have lots of time, and they love their port.
If it's clean, it's all right.
Everything, all that oil came out of there.
I know. Environmentalists don't see it that way.
Okay, we have, is the meeting, have we adjourned the meeting yet?
No.
Give them something to do.
Okay, we're going to adjourn this meeting. We're way off agenda.
Thank you.